Welcome to the Council of Trent podcast, a production of Catholic Answers.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Council of Trent podcast. I'm your host, Catholic Answers apologist and speaker, Trent Horn. Today I'm going to react to a trailer for an upcoming gay romantic comedy called Bros. So as the title suggests, instead of a man and a woman in the lead roles, it's two men. And it's being hailed as this groundbreaking first ever gay romantic comedy. I think Judd Apatow, who produced 40-Year-Old Virgin, Knocked Up, you know, those films, is behind this film. And so it's going to be coming out, I think, September 30th. So this episode should be debuting about, I think, a week before it comes out. Though the trailer's been online for several months, I just heard about it from a friend a few nights ago. So I thought I would go and I would watch it just to see what all the fuss was about. And after watching the trailer for the film, I just felt like those in Hollywood, in corporate America, on Twitter, who are loudly trying to promote LGBT ideology, it just reeked of a sense of desperation. Now, I know that I have Christian friends, you know, people who text me, say, I just went into Target and I'm seeing like all of the pictures of the models for nail polish are all boys. And, you know, you go around, it feels like every store is celebrating LGBT Pride Month, even though I thought that was just June. And you can feel a sense of hopelessness. But I want you to know that I think most people in our world are ambivalent towards this, especially if you see people who are loudly shout your abortion, you know, after Dobbs. There are a lot of loud voices out there who have embraced a worldview that is antithetical to the gospel. But they're a loud minority. I think the people that we as Christians, we should reach out to everyone, obviously. But I think we should not forget about those people in the mushy middle, those people who are ambivalent, who are keeping their heads down because they just don't want to get in trouble. They don't want to be tarred and feathered by a digital mob. So they're afraid to say anything. And that's where we can have an important witness in this culture. But we have to do it right. Because on the one extreme is just being really timid. Keep your head down. Don't say anything. You don't want to get in trouble. But the other extreme is being hateful, threatening violence, dehumanizing people, using slurs, being really angry and belligerent. We don't want to do that either. We just want to present the truth, that which is true, good, and beautiful. And what really struck me in watching this trailer, and I think you'll see this, is that those who celebrate this kind of sexual behavior, they don't have something that is just intrinsically beautiful, that is just naturally going to draw people, like a good story about love between a man and a woman, that naturally ordered attraction. Because what's interesting about this film is, as you watch it through, it is the most generic romantic comedy plot possible. If you did it with a man and a woman, no one would see this film because it's just so tremendously boring. But instead, you have to flash with neon signs, we're LGBT, we're gay, isn't that great? It's great, people, isn't it great? As if you're really kind of insecure about the identity you have. And I think here, we have to gently help people to see that they have that insecurity. They see there is something really missing. All right, so what I want to do now is I'm just going to show parts of this trailer. Not the whole thing, but I just want to show parts that really make the point that I'm talking about here of this kind of desperation that I see and how we should be able to respond to this when engaging others on this issue. So let's take a look.
Hey guys, it's Bobby Lieber coming to you from the future home of the LGBTQ plus museum. Everyone is really excited and totally getting along.
This happens to be Bisexual Awareness Week and no one has acknowledged it.
Lesbian History Month was in March. Nobody said a goddamn thing.
Of course, lesbians get a month and we get a week.
You're not starting off on a great foot if this is supposed to be a comedy. What it reminds me of is a Christian comedy. You could just replace LGBT museum with church. Hey, everyone, we're opening up our church, or you know, everyone's really excited. And then you cut to all the ministry leaders having an argument about some theological issue. Wow, look at how outrageous and zany they are. When in reality, if it was a Christian film, you'd recognize you're all within a bubble that most people don't understand, so they don't care. And they don't find it particularly funny. Instead, you're just demanding that the rest of us think that this is funny when you haven't earned it on its own terms.
So what's happening? Didn't you guys have an announcement?
This is a little unexpected, but we are in a throuple situation. Yes.
You're in a throuple? Let me tell you what's progressive now. Being alone.
I love my life. I love my freedom. I love my independence.
That's kind of sad.
That I don't want to be in a throuple. I don't even want to be in a couple.
So on the one hand, it tries to be really shocking. Like, ooh, look at this. It's a throuple. What's amazing to me is that the non-monogamy thing still hasn't widely caught on, and I don't think it will, because our natural attractions to one another between a man and a woman fully giving themselves to one another, it's naturally ordered towards monogamy, even though lots of people cheat, no doubt. But lots of people also recognize that cheating and infidelity is wrong. And so, and this is something that you shouldn't do, or at the very least, you shouldn't celebrate it. And so that does make it hard a bit for romantic comedy, because usually in a regular romantic comedy, another woman shows up, a rival of some sort. Maybe the guy's ex or the woman's friend or sister, and there's a miscommunication. But among men who have sex with men, monogamy is not a virtue. You have Dan Savage, for example. Is it Dan Savage? I think it's his name. He is a sex advice columnist, self-identified gay man. And he would describe his relationship with his partner as being monogamish. You know, it's the idea that, you know, we're mostly monogamous, but you can still go around and see other people. And really, LGBT ideology, if it says sex is just for expressions of love or pleasure, you really have no principled reason to hold up monogamy as you would between a man and a woman who fully give themselves to one another, from which children proceed from their union. And so it's good to keep them together as a stable unit. The children are a sign of that love. And it's important to keep them together and not have the guy running off making babies with other people and stuff. And so there's that natural beauty that's present when a man and woman fall in love that films like this will desperately try to ape or mimic, but you really can't. And instead, it just comes off as this kind of desperation.
Bobby, I had sex with that 65-year-old.
Jesus, he's ripped.
I know, it's like they injected steroids into Dumbledore. Oh my God, that's Aaron. He's very hot.
Gay guys are so stupid.
I know, but we've been smart enough to brand ourselves as being smart.
It's our little secret.
Okay, so continuing on, so two thoughts here. Number one, I think this film falls into the trap of a lot of comedies. I was reading in the comments below, and one of the people there said they saw this at the Toronto Film Festival, and they said, oh yeah, all the best jokes are in the trailer, but it's still a great film. Well, if this is your greatest material, like the line about Dumbledore, it's like, okay, I guess that's kind of witty, but that's the best you can come up with. Like, the rest of it is probably seems like it's going to be very unfunny virtue signaling. Then the rest of it is just the most generic romantic comedy plot line you can think of, which is, hey, a guy and a girl, they're not like each other. One is sort of like this muscly meathead and the other is not. How will they ever get along? Like I said, if this were a man and a woman, it'd be a completely forgettable film. It's similar to the film Brokeback Mountain that came out several years ago, where you have, if that was a man and a woman, it's, you know, it's about two cowboys who cheat on their wives because they're gay and they don't tell their wives, back in like the 60s, get married, don't tell their wives, cheat on their wives with each other. And this is supposed to be celebrated as something heroic when they're committing adultery. And if this were a man and a woman, you wouldn't celebrate it. You'd recognize that it's wrong. So it encourages this kind of selfishness of valuing one's own sense of pleasure over any other moral duties you might have to other people. But the big thing here to notice is that through the rest of the trailer, what it tries to do is it tries to, you know, ape romantic comedies and our natural attraction to want to watch a man and a woman fall in love with each other. But you can't really have that with two men, that same kind of miscommunication, that same kind of chemistry. It just doesn't really work. So I do want to skip ahead, though, to the part that really just kind of made my eyes roll. So let's go right to that.
Whole life, I prided myself on being self-reliant, but this guy has gone into my head.
Maybe you're both bottoms and that's the problem.
Bottom dance.
Gay sex was more fun when straight people were uncomfortable with it.
Oh my God, do you guys remember straight people?
Yeah, they had a nice run.
But notice what's interesting here is this just seems very, very sad to me. But imagine if you did like a Christian film and the last line was, hey, what do you think about people who are going to hell? Yeah, sucks for them. It just feels so weird. It's like instead of presenting what you think is really beautiful in and of itself that you want to share with other people, you recognize only your very small subset of individuals find this to be intrinsically beautiful. And instead, the best you can do to get attention is just to tear down what other people think. That you only find your sense of identity. If you only find your sense of identity in rebelling against others, and this is true also for Christians, if you only find your sense and identity in what you are not, then you're going to become an angry, belligerent person on the internet and with other people. That is not who we primarily are. As Christians, we are not defined by what we are not. We're defined by what we are. As adopted sons and daughters of God who have been spiritually renewed, regenerated in the Holy Spirit, so that we can share forth to the world the theological virtues of faith, hope, and love, and to have this joyful hope that's rooted in eternal life and is rooted in a correct understanding of the human person to find joy in things that our culture doesn't think is joyful. But deep down, they do. I mean, I really think deep down, when people see a 90-year-old couple, you know, who have been married for 70 years, only the most cynical and jaded person will want to tear that down. And the reason they tear that down is because of their own sense of insecurity in knowing that the pleasure that they'll seek after in this world can't compare to the enduring true love that they can see beyond what our culture can offer us. So I think that it's important once again for us. So it's interesting here. One is seeing that this end here, like, oh, straight people, who needs them? Well, except that they're, contrary to what public opinion polls may say, are 95% of the audience are going to go and see your film. So you're probably not wise to alienate that group. The other thing that makes me mad about here at the end is the little kids that they're dancing and are involved in this. You know, it's like, you guys are both bottoms, which is a reference to the position two men would engage in gay sex. And you have the kids running in, they're just like cheering about it and dancing. And it's gross. It makes me want to throw up. And I don't care whether it's an LGBT film or it's a traditional romantic comedy where sexual jokes are made in front of children about a man and a woman. If they're making a joke about a man and a woman engaging in sodomy, I'd also be mad. I would say, leave kids frickin' alone. Leave children alone. Let children be innocent. Children have a right to be innocent, and no one has the right to take that from them. And it's just so sad in our culture that you have people, and this is very true on the LGBT side, of being so insecure about your own sense of identity, you have to drag children into this to validate yourself. And it's sad, because at least within those who are opposite sex attracted, and if there is a person, men, women, opposite sex attracted, who corrupt children, they're bad too. A pox on their house as well. That's gross. You shouldn't have anything to do with that. Leave kids alone. But at least within the heterosexual world, quote unquote, we have an understanding, like toddlers and tiaras is gross. Like having 4, 5, 6-year-old girls put on makeup and act like, and you know, ape a seductive 25-year-old woman or 21-year-old woman, we recognize that's perverted. It's disgusting to have a 6-year-old girl act like a 21-year-old model. It's disgusting. And we recognize you shouldn't sexualize children in that way. But if you have the LGBT ideology that is involved, suddenly the rules go out the window and you have 10-year-old drag stars, cross-dressers engaged in sexually provocative dancing on morning shows. And here, I do think there's a fine line. I think that we have to engage people assertively. We don't want to be hateful or aggressive, but we also should put down our line and say, stop being perverts with children. Stop it. Leave children alone. Don't put your pornography in any, I don't want your pornography in any library. If I find these books celebrating LGBT ideology that have graphic depictions of sexuality, things that are so graphic, I couldn't put them on my social media probably. I couldn't read them in a school district meeting. And yet they're in kids' libraries to corrupt children. You bet there is nothing wrong with taking those books out of a library and dumping them in the trash. Absolutely nothing wrong. You're doing the community a service by, and I will go out and find a library. And if it has pornographic images in it designed for children to read, you know, well, the Bible has pornographic things in it. Oh, yeah, because some kid is going to flip to Ezekiel and read about how Israel had emissions like a donkey. Oh, no, that's not written for children. It's not like a slickly designed graphic novel written for a 9-year-old to read that has depictions of people having gay sex that are animated in it. You better believe I'll throw that stuff away. So I'm getting worked up, but that's okay. That's okay. You know what I get worked up the most? When people hurt kids. What gets me worked up the most? Perverted stuff in the LGBT world with children, transgender surgeries with kids, and abortion. So what are the things, what do they have in common that gets me worked up? Kids are being hurt. You know, I'm a dad. I have three kids. So, but emotions are okay to have. But remember, it's like a chariot, right? The horses don't lead the chariot. They pull the chariot. Very powerful. But our emotions, we always have to keep them in check. That way we can firmly and assertively say, we are promoting that which is true, good, and beautiful for everyone. And what you're promoting is a hollowed out imitation of that, that is ultimately not satisfying and leads to many people to despair, to a desire for true and genuine love that ultimately is found in the God who created us. And for those who are called to the vocation of marriage, it can be found in a spouse, but there it is a vocation. All right. It is something that love is not just a feeling. It's not just a pursuit of pleasure. It is to will the good of another. And so that is a theme that you should really have if you're going to have in a romantic comedy to understand the importance of love. Yeah, I mean, you can have romance. You can have laughs along the way, obviously. And the thing that's so funny about this particular film, though, is how derivative it is. It's such a generic concept, too. At least try to be creative. Why don't you have a weird, wacky plot where a gay guy from the 1960s shows up and doesn't understand this world that we live in, and it's a fish out of water story, and he has a relationship with a modern gay guy? At least I'd be trying. Not that I'm saying people should make films like that. They shouldn't. But I'm just saying if you are going to make this indecent stuff, at least try to put some effort into it to try to actually make it funny. Sorry, I went on a tangent a little bit there. But the point is, when we're in conversations with people, and we're out in the culture talking about these things, I think the attitude that we should have is you could say, yeah, I saw that trailer. It didn't seem super funny. If anything, it seemed like it was trying really hard. And it was saying that people like me who have natural sexual attractions, like we're not special or something not right about us. Like that just seems kind of odd. And so we can say that and then encourage people to think deeply about the subject. Next week, I'm going to have a episode here on the podcast where I'm going to share, I went out and interviewed college students, and I asked them one particular question about sexuality to really get them thinking about it. What is that question? I will reveal it to you next week, but I think it will help us to engage our culture on sexual ethics. So actually, this is very providential that next week I'm doing an episode to talk about sexual ethics, and I just happened to see this episode, and I slotted it in for this week. But I think that's what we can do. We can take a firm, assertive, sober mentality, not being really timid, but also not being aggressive, just call it for like it is, and then encourage people to talk about sexual ethics, and we should focus it on one particular question. And I will reveal what that question is in next week's episode of the podcast, the next Wednesday. So be sure to stay tuned for that. And by the way, I will leave you with one thing, though, that movies like this, it just felt like parody come to life. Like when people engage in parody of secular liberal culture, it becomes reality overnight almost. It reminded me of this video from Freedom Tunes, which Seamus Coughlin does that. I think they're super funny, called Freedom Tunes. Definitely check out that channel. But he did this parody called Woke Commercials. And actually, Michael Knowles is featured as one of the voices. And it's just so funny that it's a parody of how modern commercials just are so loudly LGBT. And it seems like for no purpose at all. Like, it doesn't make sense. And just this parody commercial he made, it just reminded me of this trailer for Bros. So I'll play it for you now.
Hey, you're my boyfriend that I'm gay together with.
Absolutely. We're gay.
I love being gay.
Me too. Being gay is just...
Being gay is my favorite.
I wish everyone was as gay as us.
You should be gay.
Hey, you watching. Hello. You should be gay.
Oreos. You're gay.
What was that?
Oh, man, I really want some Oreos.
So, but it's right. Like, you'll do these, you'll see these commercials, and 90% of it will be this kind of woke propaganda. It's like when Gillette did that toxic masculinity commercial a while back. And then at the end, buy this product because LGBT. It's like, what's going on here? So I'll leave a link to that in the description below if you want to check out more Freedom Tunes and stuff. But thank you guys. I hope this is helpful for everyone, and just hope you have a very blessed day.
If you like today's episode, become a premium subscriber at our Patreon page and get access to member-only content. For more information, visit TrentHornPodcast.com.